We are going through a study on the attributes of God, and every Wednesday, I'm kind of hoping it never ends, you know, and even thinking, I've been at a biblical counseling conference the last couple of days on campus, and one of the speakers made a comment, one of our greatest problems is we think about ourselves, and we don't think about God. And when we're struggling, what do? We're thinking about self, and we're not thinking about God's attributes. And as he was saying that, it made me think, I'm so grateful that I get to be leading through this study. And tonight, we're talking about God's holiness, okay? So I'm following Wayne Grudem's presentation of the different attributes in his order, which so far, almost perfectly, has matched John MacArthur's as well. And so not every book does it just the same, okay? But I thought of holiness. What's the word holy mean? What's the word holy? I'll start with a little bit of interaction. What's the word holy mean? Separate? Good. What else?
Pure.
Pure? Good. Pure is kind of the secondary definition that comes from separate. And we'll get to that in 1 second. Anybody else? Unique. Yeah, it's unique. It's different. It's unique, and then when it's unique from things that are evil, it's pure. But the idea of holiness is it's separate. It's like one of a kind. So what comes to your mind when you saw holiness, the word? And for many of us, the first thing we thought of was what? Right there. I got an email on that. That's the Arch S1 motorcycle. They are handmade. I pulled it up because I don't know this guy. He's famous, allegedly. I don't know how famous it is. He is, because I don't watch television or go to movies. But his name is Kenau Reeves. And, okay, so maybe he's famous. I don't know who he is. I should have looked it up. I hope I just didn't say something really bad, okay? And he loves motorcycles, and he has a lot of money, and he partnered with the guy who builds custom motorcycles. And out in California, they're building those now. They're called Arch motorcycles. They will involve you in the process. You get to pick things. They're handmade, handcrafted, one at a time. And like before they do a certain part of the swing arm or the chassis, you get input. I don't know, I'd like it this way. No, I'd like it that way. Okay? And obviously, they're very high-end. And you might be wondering, well, what happens if it needed service? Because there's no Arch dealers around. And it's not a problem. They will arrange to fly the bike back to California for service. Okay? Not a problem. You say, what's starting price on that? That bike starts at $138,000. Okay, that's starting $138,000. So I don't know, Ward, if the church will maybe buy a couple for you and me, maybe. I don't know, okay? But you know, why did I bring that up, really? It's, you know, I was just trying to think of an illustration. That's unique. That's different. That's holy. That's what the word holy means. So holy means different. Now, it then takes us, and we'll talk about it, to pure, and that's accurate. But initially, the word holy simply means like unique, one of a kind, and that's where this illustration falls apart because the different S1s do look similar, and thus they wouldn't really be holy. Here's how MacArthur, I'm using his definition this time, God is perfectly distinct above everything outside himself, and then, by definition, an extension, is absolutely morally separate from sin. God is perfectly distinct. He's different. God is one of a kind. There is no one like him. He's holy. That's what the word means, okay? So we break it down this way, guys. God's holiness, first point. God is distinct from all that is created, a holiness of majestic transcendence. He's just so, he transcends everything else. He's above everything else. He's distinct from everything created. He's holy. So for example, it says in Exodus 15:11, who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? There's no one like him. No one. Right? And even the Bible, it has different illustrations, but none of them really are complete. We could say the Lord is our shepherd, but he's so much more than that. The Lord is a rock, but he's so much more than that. The Lord is a high tower, but no matter what you use, it might catch a facet of his character. But really, there's no one like God. He's holy. 1 Samuel 2:2, there's no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. He's different. He's unique. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 49, this is after Mary was told that she would supernaturally bear the Lord Jesus Christ. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. I mean, like, wow, who could have ever thought of this? The Messiah is coming. I am going to birth him. Wow. I mean, this is just incredible. Holy is his name. God is distinct from all that is created, a holiness of majestic transcendence. But if he's distinct from everything, then certainly, and this is repeated in Scripture, certainly he is distinct from sin. And that's where the idea of purity comes from. A holiness of moral and ethical perfection. So literally the word means to be set apart from. That would include being set apart from sin. So God is morally holy. He is ethically perfect. Leviticus 20, verse 26. You, God speaking, are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. So what does God do? God sets apart. He selects, elects Israel. They're different from all the other nations. And he says, you are to be holy. Why? Because I'm holy. I'm different, okay? It says in Leviticus 22, 31 and 32, you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be sanctified among the sons of Israel. So the Lord here is saying, my name is holy. And notice, it's different, but it's not just different. It's different from anything that is profane, common. Do not profane my holy name. Why? Because he is the Lord. He will be sanctified. He's a holy God. Psalm chapter 5, verse 4 and 6 puts it this way. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, obviously. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. So here is a God, right, who again, there's no evil within him. There couldn't be. You say, why? Because that's just not who he is. He is a God who is separate from sin. Psalm 5, verse 7, but as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house at your holy temple. I will bow in reverence. So to come and worship him at the special place that the temple was in the Old Testament, then that would obviously be a holy place. It was set apart. It was dedicated to him. And the Lord being a God we would worship in reverence. He's a holy God. Yeah, that's two. So number one, God is distinct from all that is created, a holiness of majestic transcendence, like Mount Everest. I saw a picture today, and the speaker was making the point. He was talking about the holiness of God. And he made this very point. He said, God is unique, and then he showed a picture of Mount Everest. And he was making the point there's no other mountain as high as Mount Everest, is we understand it, okay? Number two, that means God is distinct from sin, a holiness of moral and ethical perfection. So we then bring it to our application point, number three. God calls his people to be holy, to be separate from sin and devoted to him. Remember, the essence of the word is to be different, to be set apart from. God calls his children, people who believe in Jesus, to be separate from sin and devoted to him. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 19, verse 2, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So God is different, separate from sin. God says, that's my desire for you. In 1 Peter, New Testament, we have that quote at chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed. It's such an interesting verse. Do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. So when we were ignorant, that's before we believed in Jesus, and we were conformed to our former lusts. But like the Holy One who called you, Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. In the past, I've thought about this verse and in the relationship to conformity, which is hopefully not too far out to ask for tonight. And I would make the point there's no such thing as a nonconformist. Okay, you can argue if you want. Everybody's a conformist. You can conform to your former lusts. That's what most people do. Or you can be like God and conform to Christ. No such thing as a nonconformist. We all pick different items or people to conform to, things to conform to. We used to be conformed to our former lusts. Now that our faith is in Jesus, God calls us to be different, to be like Christ, to be holy. Romans 12:1 puts it this way, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. So they're thinking, of, again, of Old Testament worship, animal sacrifice. You would bring an animal as an act of worship. We're to present our bodies, our complete being, as a living and holy sacrifice, not dead, but living, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So we, our lives, should be a holy sacrifice, set apart to God, set apart from evil. Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And we'll come to that, Lord willing, in time in our Sunday morning studies in Hebrews. We are to strive for holiness. And then again, this will take us, you know, you should be getting used to hearing this because it's all through Hebrews. Without which no one will see the Lord. You say, what's true of a person who says, I'm a Christian but doesn't strive for holiness, has no holiness? He doesn't see the Lord because he's not a believer. He's a professing believer. He's not a possessing believer. And that's what the author of Hebrews is making clear there. No holiness, you don't see the Lord. You say, is that positional holiness? It can't be. You don't strive for positional holiness. Positional holiness is a gift that's given to you when you put faith in Jesus. This is talking about practical holiness. No one dies with no practical holiness and goes to heaven, according to the scriptures, okay? We are called to pursue holiness because God is a holy God. We are to be different in a good way, separate from that which is evil. And that would be true of all believers because God calls his people to be holy, to be separate from sin, devoted to him. I have some questions that we'll work through as we go into our separate groups, and you could see these guys on your handout tonight, okay? You say, what are the questions for this evening? I'll read through them real quick, okay? Question number one, in what way is God holy? And there's actually two different ways we've talked about tonight. Number two, if God is holy, how can people like us who are not holy have a relationship with him? And we touched on that a little bit tonight. Number three, God calls us to pursue holiness. How can we practically do this? And that would be something I hope we can have a good discussion on in our shepherd groups as we meet in a little bit in shepherd groups. Let's pray.